Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Today on the podcast, I'm reviewing the book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. I'm sharing what I like, what I don't like, and why I think that this book doesn't work for American women. Talk about a controversial statement, I know. But I think the life-changing magic of tidying up does not work for the majority of American women. Marie and I approach organizing differently based on our ages and countries of origin. Let's start with our ages. When Marie wrote the book, The Magic Art of Tidying Up, she was a millennial woman without children living in Japan with a minimalist mindset. I define the four phases of life that a woman goes through as childhood, 7 to 21, accumulation, 21 to 40, survival, 40 to 55, and downsizing and legacy, 55 plus. Marie has been in the phases of childhood, and she is moving into the phase of accumulation. I am an almost 45-year-old American middle-class woman. I am a member of the Generation X generation with two teenage kids who are 15 and 16. I am an organized person, but I am not a minimalist. Everything in my home has a place, and I focus on function over beauty. I call myself a functional organizer. I've been through the phases of childhood, accumulation, and I am firmly in the survival phase of my life. So let's start first with what I absolutely love about Marie's book. Number one, I love that she has brought the discussion of clutter and organizing to the attention of the media and people around the world. 6 million books is a lot of books sold. Marie has been on major media and quoted in so many news outlets that when I did my research about the amount of clutter in Japanese homes, I couldn't find anything that did not lead to an article about Marie or her own website. Number two, I like that the idea behind her method of sparking joy. If it doesn't spark joy, then you should get rid of it. This method works particularly well for clothing. I get email after email after email of people who find Organize 365 after they've bought Marie's book and it worked wonders in their closet. There's something about reading The Magic Art of Tidying Up and the idea of items sparking joy that resonates particularly well in a woman's closet. This also works well for Americans because most of the concrete examples that Marie uses in her book involve clothing. When I get into cultural differences in a minute, you'll see how as Americans, we need to know exactly what to do with each kind of clutter that we have. Since almost all of Marie's examples relate to clothing, it's easy for Americans to extrapolate that message to their clothing and implement her ideas. However, the message of sparking joy doesn't really translate over to some other areas of clutter in American homes. For Americans, when you get down to memorabilia and some of the items that Marie doesn't touch on or doesn't feel as are important, sparking joy has a whole new connotation. Americans love every drawing that their child ever drew. And we love everything that our mom who has passed away left in our house. The qualifier of if it sparks joy or doesn't spark joy isn't a good indicator of how to declutter these areas. Now, number three, I also love that Marie champions that idea that organization is a teachable and learnable skill. Yes, yes, yes. That is what I have been saying for years. It doesn't matter if you're not organized now. You can learn to be organized. Now, before we go any further, let's get a good picture of the difference between an American house and a Japanese house. And to be honest, when I was going to record this podcast, I kind of knew what I liked and didn't like about Marie Kondo's book, but I did not really understand until I did the research how vastly different these two cultures are. So here's a comparison of Japanese and American homes. In Japan, the majority of people live in apartments, and some live in what are considered houses, which are slightly larger. Japan as a country is an island, about the size of California, and 87% of the country is covered in mountains. So there isn't a lot of land left to build houses for the 10th largest country by population. The size difference between living in an apartment and living in a standalone house is very small. The average size of a Japanese apartment is 1,000 square feet and has 4 rooms. The average size of a Japanese standalone house is 1,300 square feet and has 5 rooms. Japanese homes are highly functional. It's kind of like an organizer's dream. And their rooms have multiple uses. In America, we might have a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, and a home office. In Japan, they would have a kitchen and a multi-purpose room that would function as their living room, their dining room, and their home office, all in one. They don't have the luxury of leaving piles of stuff everywhere because that room has to function for multiple uses. It is very rare for a Japanese home to have a basement or a garage as well. Now let's compare that to the average American house. The average American house is 2,400 square feet, which is the size of my house. However, that does not count the 1,100 square feet of finished space I have in my basement, another 200 square feet of unfinished space, and my garage, which is another 400 square feet. So my 2,400 square foot average house is actually 4,100 square feet of storage space. Additionally, 10% of all Americans rent a storage space for items that do not fit in their homes. When comparing a Japanese house to an American house, you're comparing 4,000 plus square feet of storage space to the average 1,000 to 1,300 square feet of space in a Japanese home. Marie has done all of her organizing in Japan, so she has not met the American woman, that is me, that has 4,000 plus square feet of living space who fills up every nook and cranny with everything that I think is special and pretty and I want to have. Now let's compare some of the spaces inside of that house. In my 2,400 square foot home, I have 8 rooms and 3 bathrooms, with 4 more rooms and another bathroom in the basement. Japanese houses have 4 to 5 rooms. American kitchens include a cooking area, some kind of island or peninsula, and a kitchen table. Most American homes have a pretty big area devoted to their kitchen. The majority of Japanese homes do not even have an oven or a dishwasher. They cook on a stove, and they have very few counters. 90% of the Japanese population live in urban areas. Japanese homes do not have yards, and if they do have yards, they're very small. This took me aback too. My yard takes a lot of my time, money, and equipment to maintain. Additionally, Americans tend to spend a lot of time in their homes, whereas Japanese, as a culture, do not spend very much time at home. And then finally, I thought this was very interesting. In Japan, 60% of the men and 80% of the women who were between the ages of 20 to 34, which is what I call the accumulation cycle, still live at home with their parents. In Japan, until you get married, you don't move out of your parents' house. Now, this is starting to change a little bit, but a lot of that playing house and setting up your first apartment that we do in America after you go to high school or college, they don't do in Japan. So if you aren't in a new apartment or a new house in your 20s and early 30s, then you don't need to accumulate all of that stuff either. Now that we know that Americans have 3 to 4 times the space that the Japanese do in their dwellings, which leads to a lot more items that need to be decluttered and organized in America, let's explore some of the cultural differences. This summer, I attended the Global Leadership Summit, and Erin Meyer of erinmeyer.com was one of the featured speakers. She talked about the difference between how different cultures interact and communicate and how that impacts work environments. She talked a lot about the difference between the American and Japanese culture as it relates to how directly or indirectly we communicate. I remember listening to her story and thinking, oh, that's why Marie's book doesn't make as much sense for Americans as it does for Japanese. Let me share Erin's story and see what you think. Erin explained that she had gone to Japan and had just finished giving a presentation. When she was done speaking, she asked the Japanese audience if they had any questions. After a minute or two, no one raised their hands, so she went and sat down. The person who had hired her for the presentation asked, "Do you mind if I ask the audience if they have any questions?" And she said, "No, go ahead." He stood up and he looked at the audience and said, "Erin did a great presentation today. Does anyone here have any questions?" Then he slowly looked at each person in the audience. After a few seconds had passed, he stopped at one person and he said, "Yes, you have a question?" And they said, "Yes, thank you very much." And they asked their question and Erin answered. Then he surveyed the audience again. Again, no one was raising their hand. He looked at another person and said, "Yes, you have a question?" And they said, "Yes, thank you very much." And they asked their question. After the event, Erin asked, "How did you know that they had questions to ask? No one ever raised their hand." And he said, "Well, their eyes were bright." In Japan, people do not make eye contact like Americans do. When Erin was speaking, the man stood up and he surveyed the audience, and anyone who did not have a question was not making eye contact with him. But anyone who wanted to ask a question was looking intently at him with what he called bright eyes. Then he would ask them, "Do you have a question?" And they would say, "Of course, yes, thank you." The next day, Erin was speaking to a different group in Japan, and when she was done speaking, she asked if there were any questions. Again, nobody raised their hands. She thought, "Well, maybe I should look and see if there are any bright eyes." She looked out in the audience and surveyed each person, and sure enough, she would come across people who were giving direct eye contact with her. Then she asked, "Do you have a question?" And they would say, "Yes, thank you for asking." The idea of cultural differences in communication fascinates me. If you would like to explore Erin's research more, I think you would like her book, Culture Map. I noticed a few references in Marie's book about people having bright eyes. This is part of the Japanese culture. The Japanese have an intuitive ability to feel. They can read the energy in the air. This is not something Americans can do, especially me. I'm as American as you can be as far as this is concerned. You literally have to hit me over the head with a frying pan to tell me something that is not very obvious. Erin explains that Americans need explicit directions. In American presentations, you say what you're going to say, you say it, and then you review what you just said. That is very American. The Japanese are the most intuitive of all cultures. We are 100% oppositional on this. So when we try to connect on things like decluttering the house, Marie can go into the house and say, "Does it spark joy?" And that's all she has to say. She probably doesn't even have to say it. She probably just stands there and the person next to her says, "This doesn't spark joy." Or they just get rid of it. There is not the need for explicit explanations of what sparking joy means or how it feels. It just is. Here in America, it's our stuff. We like our stuff. It all sparked joy at one point. That's why it's in the house. So why would we want to get rid of it now? Maybe it'll spark joy later. We don't know. This whole sparking joy idea is really hard for us to understand. We can understand it most easiest with our clothing because, number one, our clothing only affects us. It doesn't affect anyone else in our family. And number two, Marie gave the most explicit instructions about how to see if your clothing sparks joy in her book. Americans really love to have rules. When I was a scrapbooking consultant, I used to say, you can have 200 pictures in an album. Then people would organize their pictures. Before my rule, my clients would shuffle pictures from box to box without making any progress. But once I said, you can have 200 pictures in a book, they would divide out the pictures into stacks of 200. We love to have rules. We love to be told what to do. And as soon as we're told what to do, it doesn't matter who says it, we act on that because we have a plan. That is why the 100-day challenge that I have works so well in getting your home organized. It works even better than the 40 weeks, one whole house challenge. The 40 weeks, one whole house challenge was how I organized my house. But it's just a lot of information. It's not a daily actionable challenge. The 100-day challenge was designed with short 2 to 3 minute videos and a 15-minute actionable task to do each day. And if you just do the activity every single day, at the end of 100 days, you will be more organized. Now, I did not say that you would be all the way organized in one fell swoop like Marie does, because you remember, we have 3 to 4 times as much stuff as the Japanese have. And I always say it's going to take you 3 times going through your house before you will get it completely organized, which totally lines up with what Marie is saying because we have 3 times more stuff. Here are a couple of other cultural things that I've noticed as I have done some worldly travels. About 30 years ago, I went to 7 countries in Europe as part of a high school exchange program. It was amazing. And in 3 of those countries, I lived in people's houses for about 5 days at a time. I stayed in an apartment in Barcelona, Spain, a farmhouse in southern France, and a home in Austria, where I got my very first kiss on a horse and carriage ride. The first thing that I noticed when I was in Europe in the 80s was how small everything was. All the houses were smaller, the cars were smaller, the roads were smaller, and everything was so old. I was usually in cities, but even in the countryside farmhouse in France, the house had only 3 rooms. I stayed in a stone cellar room on the ground level, and the family's home was upstairs. The places I went had nice things, but they did not have many things, even compared to what I had in the 80s in my home. By the way, when I was over there, everyone thought that we all lived in mansions like the TV show Dallas, because that's what was on TV at the time. In college, about 25 years ago, I went to China as part of an ambassador exchange program to look at their kindergartens. The children at the kindergartens I visited would go to school 6 days a week. They would show up for school on Monday morning and they would stay there until Saturday night. They had class on the bottom of the schoolhouse, and the upstairs of the kindergarten held dorm rooms of beds and a communal bathroom. I thought it was just this one kindergarten that we saw in Beijing that was an upscale kindergarten for the elite. However, after talking with an exchange student from China at my kids' high school, I realized that many Chinese children live at school at younger ages than American students do. In his province, in China, all of the students live at high school 6 days a week. Every country, every culture has their own way of raising their children, educating their children, how they live, where they live, what they eat, and how they prepare food. As I was researching this article, I started thinking about how my challenges are based on the American school year. I'm embarrassed to say, I thought, well, Lisa, not everybody goes to school the way Americans go to school. And I thought, well, Australia is just like us. Surely they go to school just like we do. And I thought, but they're on the other side of the globe, so I'm pretty sure it's summer there, even though it's winter here. I know this logically in my education mind, but I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that my Australian friends were not experiencing the exact same weather that I am. So I went online to research, and of course, it is summer there when it's winter here. I did some more research, and I realized that the Australian school system has 4 breaks per year. Some are longer than others, but they don't have the 10-week-long summer break that we have here in America. As much as I want to be the voice of home organization for all English-speaking countries, my expertise is really in American women living a typical American house with a typical kitchen, basement, and garage. How does she get organized and maintain that space? How does she corral a bazillion million Christmas decorations into whatever storage area that she has? How does she decide which of these adorable paintings, drawings, stories, spelling, and math tests that her kids bring home from school every day to keep? How and where do you store what you keep? And what do you do with the things you don't want? Are you allowed to throw them away? Not everyone can be everything to every person. So while Marie's book is great if you want to organize your closet, and by the way, if you only got through the first half of the book, you got through that part, and so probably that did help you get your closet organized. Her book and her practices are not going to help an American woman living in a 4,000 plus square foot of space, whether it's considered finished or unfinished, get organized, because she doesn't have experience doing that. Just like I have a really hard time wrapping my brain around how you would organize a 1,000 square foot apartment. My advice would be to just get rid of everything, which is what eventually Marie says, to get rid of everything. What works for Marie, but I have not seen as easily implementable for Americans, are the following five things. Number one, she says you should tidy all at once and be done. Immediately, that rubbed me the wrong way, which is why I had such a hard time with her book. Having helped so many women organize their whole homes and organize my own, I know it took me 3 years to get organized. Knowing how hard American women try to be organized and the quantity of items to be organized, I knew that it was not that easy. You can't just wave a magic wand, do it at once, and be done. Once that I realized that I had 3 to 4 times the amount of clutter as a Japanese woman, it made sense that it would take me so much longer. When you have that quantity of clutter to go through, unless you have a professional organization team coming into your house to organize, it's going to take a while. And even if our professional organization team comes into your average house, to really get it organized the way Marie organizes, it's going to take, on average, a team of 2 to 3 people, 3 to 4 weeks. Because you're not just talking about organizing your physical space. You're talking about organizing memorabilia, pictures, papers, everything. Americans have a lot more memorabilia and storage items that need to be gone through. I view organizing as more like peeling an onion and going through the process of living a cluttered life to living a more organized and productive life. It naturally takes about 3 years to move fully from a chaotic space to a very productive space. In this process, you are dealing with a lot of emotions, memories, and just changing your mindset on how you're going to live. I also think it's much harder to become an organized, more minimalistic, focused, productive person in a large house. Number two, Marie consistently brings up this idea of perfectionism, the perfect system, and that you can reach perfection. I do not think you can reach perfection. I'm not there. I actually get bored when I get anywhere close to being super productive. I create all these alternative projects that I can do to make my life a little bit more cluttered. I don't want to live in a perfect, minimalistic, 100% efficient life. I don't agree that you can actually even achieve that perfect life. So the third area is paper. And this is the hot button that originally rubbed me the wrong way when reading Marie's book. The first time I read her book, I stopped reading after the 1.5 pages about how to organize paper, which basically said, just get rid of all of it. I, a pout, had heart failure. So when I reread this book last week, and I read all the way through, I realized that towards the end of the book, she does tell you how to organize paper a little bit. But she still sticks with the idea that almost all paper should be thrown away and that there are really only 3 files that you should have. Files. Not filing system. files, three envelopes or three files of paper total. The first one is called the Needs Attention box. The second one is your most used papers, and the third one is Papers to Save. Then if you need a paper, you would go through a file and find the one that you need. Americans have rooms devoted to paper. We have so much paper that I quote organizing home paper separately from organizing the contents of a home. Personally, I've gotten down to what I think is a very minimalistic amount of paper, but if I took it all and put it in one location, it would still fill 6 to 8 file drawers full of paper. Marie's Needs Attention box is what I call the Sunday basket. However, for Americans, I named it something, I gave you a system, and I told you what goes in it. So it's a Sunday basket. You go through it every single week. That's where you keep paper that requires action. The process for creating and using a Sunday basket takes 3 to 6 weeks to implement. Marie just mentions the Needs Attention box, like you would go do the things that are in that box. And I know, as Americans, we wouldn't. Fourth, Marie glosses over photos and memories. Her suggestion is to go through your photos one by one and make decisions. That would take at least a year for most of the Americans that I know. It is definitely not something you can tidy all at once and be done in a day or two. It just doesn't happen like that. Furthermore, most Americans have a hard time deciding which photos are good to keep and which ones can be let go. Don't believe me? What do you do with your school pictures after you put one in the family frame and you hand them out to your friends and family members? If you are like most Americans, you store the rest in the school envelope and save them. Who knows? We might need them, and they cost good money. See, we need help. Lastly, she explains how she empties her purse every single day. Her wallet, train ticket, etc., all come out of her purse and are stored in different places in her home. Then she puts the purse in a bag and puts it on the top shelf of her closet. Now, she currently has a child, so maybe she doesn't empty her purse every day, or maybe she still does. But there is no way that I could empty out my purse and refill my purse every day. But along those lines, if you go with the spirit of what she's saying, I do think that I tend to take out my receipts and things like that out of my purse every couple of days, or at least once a week. And it makes me feel much, much more organized about my purse. In 6.5 years, Organize 365 has grown from a little idea in my brain to an actual corporation. Over that time, we've had blog posts and podcasts and free courses and paid courses and courses that go with each other. All of that has been streamlined, organized, and put onto a new website, organize365.com. All of the past free and paid courses have been organized into the All Access program. All Access is a combination of the 100-day home organization program and all of the paper organization offerings that I have. There are 3 components to All Access: the 100-day home organization program, the complete paper organization program, and then All Access courses and bonuses. Let me explain each one. The 100-day home organization program has launched 7 times, and we've had over 1,000 people get their homes organized using the 100-day home organization program. It has been streamlined into 3 components, the first of which is an online membership site that works from your phone and can track your progress. It's amazing. And this summer, I re-recorded every single video in the program, and we added about 20 new days. With that program, when you first purchase, you will get a planner. The planner is only designed to take you through one 100-day cycle. It's 120 days of planning, and the program is actually printed in the planner. So the day you're supposed to be doing the program is printed in the planner. Additionally, in the planner, we have added new printables for every single week. They are not available online. They are only in the planner. So for the planning your kitchen week, there's a 2-page spread in the planner about how to plan your kitchen. There's a 2-page spread about how you track your spices. when you go through your closet, there's a 2-page spread about how to decide which clothes are best in this season. And as you keep your planners, you will do your clothing all 3 seasons and you'll be able to see your clothing through the planner. So there's a planner. Every other season, you can buy a planner for $47 for one planner or $127 for 3 planners, and they're shipped out every 100 days. Then the last piece of the 100-day home organization program is the private Facebook group, where you can encourage your friends, share pictures, get input from each other, say you're having a bad day, say you're having a great day, and everyone will support and encourage you. And then once a week, Lisa comes on for 30 minutes and answers your pre-submitted questions in a Facebook Live. That is the 100-day home organization program. You could buy it independently or you could buy it as part of All Access. And as of today, you can buy it whenever you find the program. So there is nothing more frustrating than on November 2nd, realizing you want to get organized and you have to wait until January to order a program. So you may be asking, well, if a planner is included and I join in November, what planner will I get? We have undated planners. So after the 100-day program starts on Labor Day, starting September 11th, we will send out an undated planner until December. And then in December, we will start sending out the dated planner for January again. And all of this is on the website. The second part is the complete paper program. This was also called the Sunday Basket Club. You'll hear me calling it the Sunday Basket Club. The complete paper program is everything you need to get your paper organized, and this is what Organize 365 has been developing over the last 18 months. Over the last 18 months, we have gone from the concept of a Sunday basket to a physical Sunday basket with workshops, with certified organizers, and physical binders that help you eliminate your filing cabinet. So in the complete paper program, you get the complete Sunday basket, the physical Sunday basket, and the workshops that go with it. All 4 of the household binders shipped to your door, and the Sunday Basket Club. The Sunday Basket Club is our private Facebook group for people who are going through and organizing their paper. And people who are going through and organizing their paper actually get 2 live events almost every week. So every single Sunday, for 90 minutes, there is a Facebook Live led by a professional organizer. So it's like virtual class where you could do your Sunday basket every single week with a professional organizer. That way, if you have a question or you're stuck or you'd like input on your Sunday basket, you can ask those questions and they will give you real-time answers. Also, twice a month, I go into that Facebook group and I do a Facebook Live and I answer pre-submitted paper organizing questions. If you were in the 100-day program before, there used to be a little bit of paper organizing in there. We had a whole paper organizing week. That has been moved out, and that is now part of the paper organizing class. So you may ask, what's the difference? The 100-day home organization program focuses on the physical spaces in your home. The complete paper organization course focuses on getting all of your paper organized from your Sunday basket all the way to your filing cabinet. Each of these programs are purchased individually for $497, and you get everything that's in that program for $497. If you buy both programs as All Access, or you already have one of these programs and you buy the other one, you will be upgraded to All Access. Well, what is All Access? All Access is some of the previously free courses that I had are now only in the dashboard under All Access, the most popular of which are the email organizing course and the From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage course. I know, some of you are going, darn it, I wanted to do that course for free, or that course used to be free and I can't believe I didn't take advantage of it when it was free. From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage totally works. It will take any hot mess room, and it is step-by-step 28 days of how to go from I don't even know where to start to a beautifully organized storage room. And what I found over time when I think about Molly and what she needs is she needed the From Hot Mess Room to Organized Storage after she had already gotten her mindset around her paper and her home, and that this is an addition to the home and paper organizing program. It's not really a standalone program. You will pull in and you will do this one within your getting organized year. Also, the email organization course has been rewritten and re-recorded as well, and this will really help you organize all that digital papery type stuff. There are a couple other free bonuses in All Access. We have all of the color printables that I used to sell on Etsy. Those are over in All Access now. I do not have an Etsy store anymore. Also, the 10 Steps to Organized Move ebook is in there. And in the Hot Mess Room course, we had a great ebook that tells you where to donate, sell, and recycle everything. That email also is in All Access. So how does this work? Because Lisa, you used to say, I could do the 100-day program and it was 15 minutes a day. And I did. And the reason I said that was because that's what you told me. You wanted an organization program that you could do, you know, in a short amount of time for a short amount of minutes. And I'm just not good at marketing. I'm not good at, like, if you do this 30 days and 5 minutes a day, you'll be a millionaire. Like, I am a realist. I am practical. I am functional. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you really want to live an organized life, like you see me living on Instagram and being able to have a really bad day, but not take my whole world down because I have organization underneath me, it takes a year. It took me a year. The whole year I turned 40, I went through my house 3 different times that year and I finally got it organized. And I went from drowning to finally treading water and swimming in 1 year. You need to go through the 100-day program 3 times. That's why I've always had it as lifetime access. And when you do that, you naturally, you need a Sunday basket, and you naturally start organizing your papers. And when you don't buy all of the binders, what happens is you start to try to figure out how to organize your papers into binders or files or whatever. You spend more time figuring out alternative ways to organize than to just use the system that works. So I know that there are going to be A, people who cannot afford the program, and B, that people that don't want to do All Access and don't want to buy all in, and that's totally fine with me. I'm 100% okay with that. But I also know, with the 1,000 people that have gone through it, that it works. It 100% works. So if you're ready to invest your time and your money into Organize 365, I know that if you give me 1 hour a day and 1 full year, we can give you an organized house and organized paper. I just know that it's true. And when I was at the national convention, I threw this out to everyone and I said, you know, the programs are not inexpensive. I mean, it's basically $500 for each program, or it's $9.97 for All Access. That's a lot of money. If you divide that out over a year, it's $3 a day. I'm not even going to get into coffee. We can't take away coffee, so forget that. It's $3 a day. But I asked the audience and I said, if you spend an hour a day and $3 a day, do you feel at the end of having done this for 1 year that you got back more than an hour a day and $3 a day? And unequivocally, they all said yes. So if you may say, I'm going to invest $1,000, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get that $1,000 back either in selling things in your house, or you're going to get it back by being able to do more of the work that you're normally paid for, or saving money by not rebuying things that you already have, or whatever. You're going to get that money back. And the hour a day, the national statistic is for Americans that we spend 55 minutes a day looking for things. So if you think that investing an hour a day in organizing your house, you don't have, you're already spending the time you don't have looking for things, forgetting things, running things back up to the kids' school because you forgot to send it because you didn't plan because. It's not that we don't have the time. Of course we don't have, nobody has extra time. But what are the things in your life that you could give up to invest an hour so that you could get back an hour next year? And this is the game changer, you guys. When you really go all in and do All Access and you really decide, I'm done, I'm getting organized, I'm going to live an organized life, do you know what you get? Time. And they keep saying we can't buy time. But I'm going to tell you, if you get organized, you're basically buying time. I don't want to brag or anything, but there are a lot of days where I'm like, I wonder what I could do. And my poor team, what happens is I come up with a new program, like this kids program that I'm developing or whatever, because I have so much time because I don't spend any time organizing my house anymore. I just don't, because it's organized. But don't worry, it'll get unorganized again when I change phases of life. But right now it's organized. And the benefit I get from an organized house is time. So if you're thinking you don't have enough time, I want you to think about a year from now, if you don't do the All Access course, will you have more time? Because I will tell you, if you do it, you will. And everybody says you can't buy time. Okay, go to organize365.com. Now, hopefully you understand 100-day program, still the same, basically. Complete paper program is all the stuff you've heard me coming out with over the last 18 months, but we finally organized it, condensed it, and put it into a program. And then All Access is both of those, plus the additional free bonuses. Enjoy!